we're jumping straight in. We're prayed up. We've been singing praises. Now it's time to get into the sermon this morning. So if you have your Bible here, and I can't imagine why you would not, open those up to Acts chapter 4 if you want to follow along. And as you're doing that, let me ask you this question. Are you a bold believer or a cowardly Christian? Or let me put it another way. If you were arrested on the charge of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? There was this little boy. He had this mixed breed kind of a mongrel dog, and he was playing with him in the park one day, and this old man come up, and he seen this boy having such a good time with his dog, and he said, "Hey, what kind of dog you got there, son?" And the boy said, "He's a police dog, mister." And the old man said, "Well, he don't look much like a police dog to me." And that kid said, "Well, he's in the Secret Service." I think we got a lot of Christians today that are in the Secret Service. They're cowardly Christians. These are the folks that don't want to be seen with a Bible on their desk at work. They don't want to be seen bowing their heads in the company cafeteria. And they don't witness to anybody for fear that somebody might criticize them. Now, folks, these people are saved. They're saved. But they're cowardly Christians. Let me read three verses to you from Acts chapter 4. And I want you to notice the word boldness, okay, in all three of these verses. Let's start with verse 13. When they saw the courage or boldness of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. Move to verse 29. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Verse 31. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Three times, folks, in this one chapter, we hear about boldness, about courage. Now, something you may not have noticed. The first time we see it used, it's associated with God the Son. The second time we see it, it's associated with God the Father. And the third time we see it, it's associated with God the Holy Spirit. Just like last week, I'm going to be talking to you all today on the topic of Christian courage, what the Bible refers to as holy boldness. The title of the message is quite simply Christian Courage Part 2. What exactly is boldness? Well, first, let me tell you what it's not, okay? Boldness, friends, is not putting your finger in somebody's face and telling them off. Boldness is not being rude. Now, some people think they're bold when really they're just arrogant. These are the people that have bad manners and sometimes bad breath to go with it. That's not boldness. People like that will drive far more folks away from Jesus than they'll ever draw to Jesus. Here's what real boldness is in the life of a Christian. Having the courage to stand up for the Lord Jesus in the face of opposition. That's what boldness is. Now, before we look at this passage in Acts 4, I want to give you just a quick review on what happened in chapter 3. So this makes sense to you. Back in chapter 3, we're given the story about this crippled beggar. He'd been lame since the time he was born. Every day he sat at one of the temple gates, one of the entry points into the temple, where he would beg for money. One day, Peter and John, they're walking towards the temple together. This fella, and he's looking up at him, you know, expecting him to throw some money his way. The apostle Peter looks at this fellow and he says, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk." And you know what happened? Immediately, this man who had been crippled for his entire life stood up on his own two feet And he began to walk and jump and praise the Lord. And everybody saw this. Now, you would think everybody would have been praising God and overjoyed, wouldn't you? No. The religious leaders, the Jewish religious leaders, they weren't happy about this at all. They got all upset because they did not want Peter and John preaching and teaching about Jesus, and they really didn't want these guys performing miracles in the name of Jesus. So you know what they did? You know how they rewarded these men for healing this crippled man by the power of Jesus? You know what their reward was? They got thrown in jail. That's what they did with them. The next morning, they bring Peter and John before the Jewish council, okay, the Sanhedrin, and they ask them, by what power or name did you perform this miracle? See, they don't deny it's a miracle. They just want to know how they did it. Look what Peter says, Acts chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Peter says, hey, if we're being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and we're asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Now, we saw last week in our message, there was a time when Peter was afraid to stand up for Jesus. But he's not afraid anymore. There's the Jewish council trying to put him on trial, right? But he immediately jumps out of his role as the defendant and becomes the prosecuting attorney. He says, oh, you want to know how the crippled man was healed? He was healed in the name of Jesus, whom you crucified. You want to talk about being bold? Now, look what else he says. Verse 12. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Let me pause here for just a minute to tell you something. Jesus Christ, he is the only way to be saved. Now, if you say that today, this world will come down on you like a hammer. They're going to call you a bigot and narrow-minded and probably everything but a child of God. But if they're going to call you all that stuff, they ought to call you one more thing, a Bible-believing Christian. Salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given by which men must be saved. Now, that's a bold statement. Think about the boldness it took for Peter to say something like that to a group of men that conspired to kill Jesus. Would you like to have Christian courage? Would you like to be a bold believer today? I'm going to share three things with you this morning. They're going to help you do just that. And these three things are related to the Holy Trinity. And they can and will change you from a cowardly Christian into a Christian with courage, into a bold believer. And if there was ever a time when we needed more of those, it's now. Point number one, you want to have Christian courage? You want to be a bold believer? You got to keep company with God the Son. That's what you need to do. Look at verse 13 again. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Peter and John were bold because, man, they'd spent 3.5 years hanging around with Jesus. You cannot walk in his presence and be a coward. Jesus is alive and well, and we see proof of it right here. They say, how was the crippled man healed? Peter says, it was done through the power of Jesus. Give him the glory. So if you want to be bold, you need to make sure you're walking with Jesus. Make sure he's real to you. And I'm going to tell you straight from my heart, Jesus is real to me. He's just as real to me as any of you are. I talk with Jesus. I fellowship with Jesus. I love him because he saved me. See, as believers, we got to keep in mind, we know something that the rest of the world doesn't know. Jesus isn't just only up there in heaven taking a little peek down once in a while to see what's going on. He is always with us. Matthew 18:20. He says, "For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them." Jesus Christ is here. He's here right now. And that's the reason you ought to sing. That's the reason you ought to worship. And that's the reason you ought to be rejoicing. He has not left us alone. He's with us always. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, when Jesus is giving the Great Commission, he starts off by saying, "Therefore, go make disciples of all nations." And then he ends it with, "I am with you always to the very end of the age." This is where courage and boldness come from in the life of a Christian, knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ is with you. Now, they tell us today we can't take Jesus into the public schoolhouse. He's not allowed in there. Can't take Jesus into school. Oh, yeah, you can. I'm going to tell you how. Let me give you this little illustration. There was this fella who had been out of the country on vacation. And when you come back, you got to go through customs. Sheila and I had to do this when we came back from Israel. You got to go through customs. And they ask you to declare certain, there's certain things you can't bring back in the country. So this guy's standing there in line. He gets up to customs. And they're like, "Yeah, you got anything to declare?" He's like, "Yeah, man, I got this little block of gourmet cheese." And the security people go, "Dude, you can't bring that in here." He says, "Man, I paid a lot of money for this, dude. I'm bringing it in." And the TSA people say, "Oh, no, you're not." And the guy says, "Oh, yes, I am." And the dude steps up. He's strapped up, got a gun on his hip. And he goes, "Oh, no, you're not." The guy steps back and eats that cheese. And he goes, "I told you I was bringing it in." So, listen, in the same way, they can't keep Jesus out of the school because he's in us. Every single time I go to substitute teach, whether I'm at Wolfridge, whether I'm at the high school, when I walk through the front door to school, Jesus walks in there too. He's with us. They cannot keep Jesus out. He's with us always, friends. Now, the Jewish council, they marveled at the boldness of Peter and John. They said, "Well, these are just regular guys. Man, they didn't go to rabbi school. They weren't in Bible college. And these guys are bold." And we're told that they noticed or remembered that these men had been with Jesus. And that's the first way to become a courageous Christian or a bold believer. You got to keep company with God the Son. Remember this, Jesus didn't come to get you out of trouble. He came to get into trouble with you. Now, here's the second principle for becoming a courageous Christian. Have confidence in God the Father. Now, the Jewish council, they couldn't find any reason to keep Peter and John in jail because they hadn't done anything except heal a guy. So they brought them in, they threatened them, and they told them, "You guys better stop teaching and preaching in the name of Jesus." And then they let them go. So Peter and John go back to the other disciples and other people in the early church, and they told them everything that happened. And beginning in verse 24, check it out, when the rest of the early church heard what happened. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. This is talking about God the Father now. And here's what they said. "Sovereign Lord, you made the heaven and earth and sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant and our father David." And then they quote King David when he wrote this in Psalm 2. "Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city," talking about Jerusalem, "to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed." Now, folks, God is still in control. Check out this next part of this passage. "They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness." I smile every time I read this because the Jewish council told them, don't you pray or don't you preach and teach in the name of Jesus. And here they are praying for the boldness to do exactly what they've been told not to do. They had confidence in God the Father. If you don't have confidence in God today, even if you're a Christian, if you don't have confidence in God, your life is going to be lived in fear. The devil will always have you on the run. But when you do have confidence in God the Father, you're going to be bold. The man who will kneel down before God can stand up against anything else. Now, right now, we look around this world. Folks, things are out of place in this world. Now, the church is the bride of Christ. The bride belongs with the groom. And that's where we'll be at the rapture. Jesus is the king. A king belongs on the throne. And that's exactly where he's going to be when he comes back. Satan is a criminal. He ought to be in the dungeon. And you know what? That's exactly where he's going to be when Jesus comes back and puts him there. Now, sometimes you may look around this world and you see all of these problems. You got all these illnesses and threats of war and all of this stuff going on. Things that just make absolutely no sense. And you begin to think, man, everything has gone wrong. Maybe the Bible is not true. Let me encourage you, don't lose hope. I want you to right now, there ain't a person in here that ain't got some kind of problem going on. Some of y'all got small problems, some of you got ones that ain't so small. Whatever your biggest problem is right now, you get that in your mind. I want you to think about that for a minute. You got it? Now, mentally, double that problem. Make it twice as bad in your imagination. Now, double it again, and then let me ask you this question. You think that problem's big to God? Absolutely not. So what's the basis for our courage as Christians? Number one, we have to keep company with God the Son. Number two, we got to have confidence in God the Father. Man, take your eyes off your problems. Focus on the Almighty God who is the creator of all things, the controller of all things. And folks, he's the conqueror of all things. That's where your confidence needs to be. Now, those are the first two principles. Here comes number three. You got to receive courage from God the Holy Spirit. Look at verses 29 through 31. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Friends, I've talked to you today about God the Son. I've talked to you today about God the Father. I want to talk to you for just a couple minutes now about God the Holy Spirit. See, boldness, true boldness and Christian courage, it comes from the Holy Trinity. When we keep company with God the Son, when we have confidence in God the Father, then we're going to receive courage from God the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 29. Enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. That word servant in English, it comes from a fancy Greek word that actually means bond slave. That's the better translation, bond slave. Are you a slave today to Jesus? I hope you say yeah. I try to make it a habit every day, and sometimes I fail, but I try to make it a habit every day to surrender to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm your servant. Help me be obedient to your will for my life. Boldness is not for rebels. You will never have true boldness if there's unconfessed sin in your life. And you will never have boldness if there's an area of your life that you have not surrendered to God. Proverbs 28, chapter 1. The wicked man flees, though no one pursues. Ain't nobody chasing him, and he's running away. But the righteous are bold as a lion. Friends, when a person is out of fellowship with God, he's always looking over his shoulder, looking, hoping, Nobody finds out about that secret thing in his life, what he's trying to keep to himself. But when you're in fellowship with God, there's nothing between your soul and his presence. You can say, Jesus is with me, God the Father is above me, and the Holy Spirit is inside of me. This is where courage and boldness come from. Now, what did the apostles in the early church need courage for? Why did they need courage? Why do we need courage today? Three reasons. Number one, to express God's word. Look at verse 29 again. Enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. I'm going to tell you, I really believe that the curse of the 21st century church is cowardly Christians who are not expressing God's word. Look here. The apostles were threatened with death on a daily basis. They didn't even pray for safety. What'd they pray for? Courage. That's what they prayed for. They asked for the courage to do the very thing that got them in trouble in the first place. Now, my desire as your pastor, it's not just courage from the men and women in these pews. We need more courage from the pastors in these pulpits all over America. Now, I'm not trying to, once again, I'm not trying to tell you I'm some example of excellence in this area, but I do believe there is not a whole lot wrong in America that could not be radically and dramatically changed if we had a generation of preachers in America today who would open the Word of God, filled by the Spirit of God, and preach the Christ of God without fear or worry. They're going to offend somebody because they're not speaking politically correct. Just preach the Word of God. Now, the apostles, they not only needed courage to express God's Word, they also needed courage to extend God's hand. Look at verse 30. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Here's what they're saying. God, let your miracle-working power flow through our hands in the name of Jesus. Now, granted, it was Jesus that was doing the healing, but he was using these men to do it. Acts chapter 5, verse 12 says, the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. And folks, they did that through the power of Jesus. And I want to tell you this, God can and will work through us in similar ways today. Now, I'm not telling you that you're going to be able to go lay your hands on somebody that's dying and heal them. I'm not saying that you can do that. We don't today perform the same kind of miracles that those apostles were empowered to perform. But check this out. When God works through you to lead somebody to a saving faith in Jesus Christ, that's a miracle that goes far beyond the healing of a physical body. That person's receiving eternal life. Now, they needed courage to express God's word. They needed it to extend God's hand. And finally, they needed courage to exalt God's Son. Go back to verse 30 one more time. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. You know something I've noticed? A lot of people in this world today, they don't like the name Jesus. They get all upset when you start talking about Jesus. Now, they don't mind if you say a prayer. Just don't get too specific about the God you're praying to. See, today, people want this universally acceptable prayer that won't offend anybody, regardless of what they believe or don't believe. I'm going to get real with you here. This is what we have allowed our government to do to our freedom of religion. Do you know that many military chaplains today serving U.S. forces, they can't even pray in the name of Jesus anymore? They get in trouble if they do that. They have been reduced to giving these generalized, generic prayers. This is just a bunch of dumbed-down mumbo-jumbo, doesn't mean anything to anybody. Folks, that's wrong. That is wrong. Don't be afraid to lift up the name of Jesus. I pray even now, God, give us the courage to express your word, to extend your hand and exalt your son. Now, I realize not everybody is going to believe in Jesus, okay? I've read the whole book. I know exactly what happens. Not everybody's going to come to believe in Jesus. But there ain't nobody going to tell me I cannot preach and teach about my Lord and Savior with boldness. Look at verse 31. See what happened when these men prayed for boldness. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. The power of God shook that place. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Now, verse 33. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. Now, as we close today, I'm calling upon you, Woodburn Bible Church. Take the gospel to every person in this Bunker Hill and Woodburn area. See, our mission is to make sure we share Jesus with our neighbors. Now, we don't want to just be sitting here doing our own thing when Jesus comes back without making sure that every person in this area understands just who Jesus is and how to get to heaven. Now, they ain't all going to believe. I understand that. But many of these lost people right here in this area will come to a saving faith in Jesus if we'll stop being cowardly Christians and share the gospel with them. And friend, we do that by keeping company with God the Son, having confidence in God the Father, and receiving courage from God the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we do pray for courage today. Our society continues to tell us that if we say anything that might be found offensive to someone, that we're wrong. Lord, the whole gospel is offensive. Jesus died a bloody and cruel death for a bunch of rotten sinners. It's offensive that an innocent man died for a bunch of guilty people. Father, give us the courage to speak your word with great boldness. But help us to do it, Lord, in a loving way. But help us to be courageous enough not to compromise the truth. Help us to stand up for what's right. Stop worrying about being politically correct or not being offensive or being all-inclusive. Lord, help us just to preach and teach the truth. And help us to do it just because it's the right thing to do. Lord, raise up an army of soldiers for Jesus that would take your word with them everywhere they go. I pray your blessing on every man, woman, and child gathered in this sanctuary this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, folks. God bless you. Before we bow for the benediction, just a quick reminder. If you have a special prayer need today that you did not mention and you would like prayer right now, as soon as I step off the platform, we'll have a couple of guys up here that will be happy to pray with you on anything you would like prayer about. Let's please bow for the benediction. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.